Good morning. Today is Thursday, September 13th at 7:16 a.m. Today's Wujo actually has a title. It's called Earthers Are Easy. I was going to say, Earth Girls Are Easy, but it's Earthers in general, men as well. Actually, specifically today, probably more men than women are in the category of being played here. And that's the whole point of this. Basically, it's a, let's talk religion for a minute, since religion is being used to play everybody into World War III at the moment. This is a current affairs discussion like we used to have in civics class. Recently, you'll note that a number of attacks have been carried out against United States embassies by parties unknown that the media are claiming are radical Muslims. Let's at this moment say that we're entering into the realm of the unknowing. Because the media reports it as being radical Muslims, we know that that is not true, since these people lie continuously, are paid to lie, they are part of a lying machine, their editorial staff works very hard to craft their lies into a standard common consensus fiction. My take on all of this is that this is basically a collective version of an Archduke Ferdinand. In the 1900s, in World War I, in the early 1900s, we had a situation where the economy was crashed in 1907 deliberately to bring in the situation for the Federal Reserve to take over in 1913 here in the United States, such that they could engineer this war to seize property, both here and in Europe, on behalf of the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. This was done at that time with the pretext of the assassination of a monarch, like we all give a shit anymore about a monarch. You know, they could wipe them all out for all I care. In fact, it'd be best. In any event, though, at that time, in the 1900s, this was a real big deal. They so totally controlled the media then because there was no alternative whatsoever, and also because of the nature of the population being primarily still serfdom across the planet in one form or another, with limited access to travel and other media, it was and other ideas, it was very easy to get the whole World War I thing going with the assassination of this one fellow. Now, the Israelis, probably at the behest of whoever they work for, Rothschilds et al., and there's probably some alien toad reptile thing on the top of the pyramid pushing on everybody, they're trying to get World War III ginned up, and they've been trying all their all the tricks in the book. It's all failed. So now what they're doing is a collective Archduke Ferdinand. What they're doing is they're going to go around and assassinate a lot of people. They're going to do it in a bloody fashion. They're going to do it with horrific sexual innuendo and a lot of, probably they'll get to disembowelment pretty quick, just so that they'll have these gross images out there. They're trying to reach a particular emotional threshold of what we at Half Past Human here call intensity value. And that has to do with the emotional impact of the language on you. I know this, okay? I know this is a con. I know that the recent assassinations were not done by random Muslim mobs who've been inflamed by this stupid-ass movie made by the Israeli CIA out of Los Angeles in 18 days of shooting, in which they tricked these actors into portraying a really horrific, vile assault on Mohammedism. Now, Mohammedism is not the point here. Who gives a rat's ass? I'm against all religions, and we can be quite honest about all of these religions. But my point at this stage is this is a game. It's a huge organized mind fuck, okay? Planetary mind fuck. We know that this is going on because about 4 weeks ago at this place called GLP, Godlike Productions, which I think is owned by the Israeli, by an Israeli. I think the guy who owns it is actually an Israeli. He's a very mysterious fellow, but that's an aside. It is controlled and is the mouthpiece, a surreptitious, actually it's not a mouthpiece, it's a farting piece. Okay, this is where they fart out their little ideas and float them up their little fart flagpole to see if anybody's going to salute and see if basically if it's going to pass the smell test. And so Godlike Productions, about 4 weeks ago, you'll note, had a whole series of posts originating following a particular pattern that Tavistock likes to use. And it was, in essence, the initiation point of what's going on now. Why there's this time lag, I don't know. I noticed the time lag on hit pieces on woo-woo guys like David Icke and, you know, the ever-gullible David Wilcock and Benjamin Fulford. And by the way, I do not put David Icke into those the category of those two other individuals at all. But he is one of the, David Icke, by the way, is one of the more frequently targeted individuals in the, from the Gulpers world. Tavistock really doesn't like him, and they really are irritated by him, and they're continually poking at him from this GLP place. But anyway, they have this pattern. And on Woo Woo Guys, it's about 2 to 3 weeks. Current events, like what I call the CFR things, you know, the Angelina Jolie is the ambassador from Council on Foreign Relations to the world in mind control in her movies, okay? And so they have a four-week lag time at the Council on Foreign Relations level release stuff that comes out of Tavistock. So about 4 weeks ago, if you go back and sift all the language and went through that site over the course of about 6 or 8 days, you'll note that a number of focal points of the post were pointing to the situation that we have now. I'm talking about allusions from the Aurora shooting and projections into the future. It's a very complex linguistic set, but nonetheless, if you go through and get it in the aggregate and then apply a series of data mining techniques to it, whoosh, it comes right out to you. Kind of like the hokey Bible codes thing. Now, let's talk religion for a minute. Let's be real honest about all this. Next time you meet somebody who is Jewish, ask him how many gods he has, all right? Because the world thinks of the Jewish religion as being, Judaism, as being monotheistic. It is not. They, in fact, have more gods than the Hindus, because the Judeo-Christian world is based on this fundamental thing that everybody overlooks. And that is that laid out repeatedly in all of the Jewish material, all of the Talmudic text, all of the Torah allusions, there is a central theme that the Jewish population chose to enslave themselves to a particular god from a pantheon of over 144,000 individuals that came here to do work. And that the Jewish people were... they were not chosen. They are those who chose. There's a big difference. You got to look at the language here. If you really want to see what the Bible is all about, it is a description of this invasion that occurred by parties unknown. We'll just no reason to even label them at this point. You know, you can call them Anunnaki or whatever the fuck you want. It does not matter. The scenario lays out this way, and perhaps the most accurate cosmology we have on this planet to date is still the Jain cosmology, once you strip away the philosophical reading of the Jain material and look at it in a historical presentation. It lays out a very remarkable story of the human race, beginning with the Nummo and ending up with where we are now. They do it from a particular viewpoint that a lot of Westerners just will not understand. And so, it's a sadness to me that we have these linguistic cultural problems in getting at some of this information. But let's look at this. The Jewish population chose as a tribe to be enslaved to this particular god. If you go back in their literature and look at it, it was a choice that they made. It was not as though the God came down and said, I want that tribe, they're mine. And in fact, was the other way. The descriptions that are the best linguistic understanding you can get of the Bible in its historical and modern-day context is coming out of Mauro Biglino. He's got a bunch of YouTube videos out there on the unexplored Bible. This was a guy who worked his butt off for the Catholic Church and then was canned because he objected to them lying about his results. He's a talented linguist. I mean, he's not a talented linguist. He is perhaps one of the, I'd say, the top 10, top 20 on the planet, because he's not hidebound by academia in terms of how he understands the human mind and the relationship of the mind, the linguistic center, and what we present to the world as words. It's a little bit more complex than we think about it. Mostly, people don't think about language. They just use it as a tool. And so it's basically as though they're given a hammer, or they walk around and they smack things with it. Oh, this is good to smack things with. And so they use this tool all the time without ever examining either the other end of the hammer, which allows you to pull things out of material, or the any other potential uses, or even examining the hammer in context and wondering, are there other useful things, other tools that might also be useful for not necessarily smacking things, but in doing things another manner. So as humans, we don't really use our language, and we never in the appropriate context of a single tool in a tool chest. Now, Morrow, he thinks about language that way. So this is really a brilliant linguist. And if you ever want to see and listen to somebody discuss what the Bible is all about, the actual translation of it, you'll be blown away. Go and listen to like the first six of his videos on the Unexplored Bible, and you will get quite the shock. Now, going back to the honesty of all of this, so let's look at the situation with the Muslims, okay? The Muslims are being used as the incendiary point. They're being used as the parties involved in the grand assassination of the mini Archduke Ferdinands that are going on right at the moment. If you want a little bit of history, go to like Wikipedia and then start trailing off from there and look up what actually happened in the context of the assassination of the Archduke. It was really a setup. His own people did it, just as what's going on right now. Everything that is happening right now, because the media is reporting it as basically irate random mobs doing thus and so, even though there's the hints within the media's language, and I'm saying, the lying mainstream media, fucktard-controlled press, are all saying that these mobs, even though it appears to be more than random, are indeed... It's basically an outgrowth and an expression of this very prototypical Muslim rage. They're trying to get us this idea of Muslim rage, where you can't insult these people. You can't say anything negative about their religion, or these people just come totally damn unglued. That's the presentation that's being put out here by the Western press. Now, you got to examine this, people. I mean, you need to know the people that live as Muslims on this planet in the Middle East. Now, specifically the Middle East, because the conditions there form a lot of the overall consensus and reaction potential. These people live in a hellhole for the most part. They live in an area where they're resource constrained. The resource constraints come down so far that they have no way of getting rid of sewage. They have no sources of clean water. And believe me, without the hydrogen molecule in you in quantities, you are not thinking well. And if hydrogen molecules are restricted to you through the heat and your diet and everything, you will suffer. You'll get an attitude. If you ever lived in any of these hellholes where it's continuously in the hundreds of degrees and the humidity just wafts in and wafts out as it chooses based on the weather patterns of the local estuarine and environments, and you have a terrible airflow, all of the conditions there make these individuals borderline or continuously irritated anyway. If I had to live there, I would be just a basket case. Even if I grew up there, even if I was acclimatized to it, you could not otherwise be anything other than stressed. Humans are not necessarily designed to continuously live in these harsh environments. This is so iconic that it was chosen as the metaphor in the Dune book and movies by Frank Herbert. If you'll remember, basically he presents the Fremen as a non-Islamic people that are living under Islamic people conditions on a planet that is basically the Middle East for the whole damn planet, and it's got these giant worms that'll come on up and eat your ass. But a lot of the cultural overlays that he was putting on the Fremen in that book, we can also put on the Muslim people. Those people that have to live in the Middle East who are predominantly of the Muslim religion, you'll note that they share certain characteristics that are also Fremen-like. They're tight-knit. They protect one another. That is because they are so resource constrained that the cooperation within their internal groups must be tight-knit to the point of extreme, because if you don't, you die. If you'll note, the death rate of infant mortality rates are high in the area. Death rates are high. If you live up to a certain age, you're likely to live to be very old. But getting to that certain age of around 42 is a real bitch. Also, they are so resource constrained that they live in a world in which money equals life to a degree that Westerners cannot appreciate. We live in a resource plentiful world where I can go on out and literally find food, if I know where to look, growing in the forests around me, and all it's going to take is for me to get off my butt and go on out there and look. This is not the case in the desert. Unless you're willing to eat sand fleas and other gross things, you're not going to find, and you'll never find enough sustainable material for you because of the water constraints. So you have to understand the context in which these people live. So they're always going to be pissed. They're always going to be irritated about every damn thing. I would too. In fact, I am just sitting up here thinking about it. So here these guys are, and now they've got a cultural mindset that allows them to thrive under those conditions. Part of that cultural mindset comes from the cohesiveness that is the Mohammedan religion. Okay, the religious component of it we can leave aside. I mean, the words about, you know, archangel so-and-so coming down and spouting out this, that, and the other thing. Okay, this is all fine. We can leave aside the myth and just examine the cultural component of the religion that they've got going there. If you note, it has done it is designed to provide a supporting infrastructure for people, basically, that have no other form of infrastructure. And this supporting infrastructure has to do certain things in certain ways that are atypical to how we would do them here in the West, such as the idea of purdah, the separation of the men and women in the various ways in which they do things. Now, they've taken it to an extreme in many cases, denied women the rights of being human, and are extreme in many regards, but hey guys, we're also fucking extreme. You know, we got a country here that's ruled by a goddamn Disneyland. You've got the myth the shit Willard Obamny out there just itching to pull the trigger for the Israelis who are doing it on behalf of the Rothschilds for some weird-ass context that you never bought into, but you're a slave to. So we can't give the Muslim people too much shit for their worldview. And it would help if we'd all settle back and say, okay, guy, you know, fellow in the Middle East, suffering 103 degree temperatures 9 months out of the damn year, not enough to drink, never enough to eat, living in too cramped a space, never, ever going to find enough money to get married and have a family, and has no legal outlet for any kind of mind-altering drugs to get him out of this, and can't even have porn without fear of getting him self-censured and maybe even killed. In this restrictive of an environment, you're going to go and insult that man? You know, that is just literally going on in and poking the bear. Now, there are days out here when I've got a sinus headache. And some of these sinus headaches come these days from the damn chemtrails. In this case, the sinus inside my head swells up and it puts pressure on my brain. And I have to take certain steps to go through the pain to get rid of this. During that process, it does not matter how well-intentioned you are. If you come and you irritate me, you are going to receive the outpouring of the pain that is being generated by that little tiny particle inside my sinus that's got everything all swollen up. And if you're deliberately trying to piss me off, I'm just going to take you out just because I'm so pissed at the world. So imagine a planet in which we got a concentrated area of heat in which you've got people that, for the most part, we might as well say that every man in the Middle East who's over the age of 30 is probably pretty much like a cliff. He's probably like a cliff with a sinus headache, either developing in full flare or slowly fading away. So it's not wise to go and irritate these people. Now, I don't mean to be humorous about this. The whole image of this is funny, of, you know, a billion or half a billion cliffs running around with sinus headaches in the Middle East. But that's basically the situation you have all the time. And then you've got the Western world up here living in Disney illusion land, because they don't have a fucking clue. They are uneducated. They are schooled to be slaves. There's no other getting around it. Not only are they schooled to be slaves, they're bred to be slaves, and their diets are designed to make them slaves. And only when they stand up and declare themselves not to be a slave and start acting as a responsible citizen do they get any respect out of the universe. And so mostly these individuals up here in the Western planet, for all you guys living in the Middle East who are ever going to listen to this, most of these people up here I call the Nebbish. You'll know this word. It's a Khazarian word from the Hebrew. And you'll know these Nebbish. And they are as to be pitied for their environment, for their condition, as you are to be pitied for your environment and the conditions that put you there. So because the Nebbish has no more control over their understanding of reality than you have control over the heat and the sand and the lack of resources. Yes, these people live in a land of plenty and resources, but are they mensch? No, they are not. They are Nebbish. Their brains have been chemically lobotomized. Their emotions are shot. They are push a button when they're told to push a button without caring about the consequences of it, and a family going to a wedding in Pakistan dies. And this is the world in which the Nebbish live. So now the powers that be find themselves in a funny situation. They have engineered the Nebbish to basically be dumbed down and emotionally flatlined to the point where they're easily mentally controlled. But there are times when the powers that be need to gin up emotional intensity, and that's what they're attempting at the moment. It takes a whole lot these days to get the Nebbish riled up about any damn thing. About as they see, you know, those who are not Nebbish can get riled up real easy. I'm not a Nebbish, and I'm mostly pissed all the damn time. So here are the powers that be are starting off on this giant, let's go out and assassinate all of these minion-class people, ambassadors, and let's do it in such horrific ways that we can see if we can gin up some emotional outcry from the Nebbish such that we can get our World War III going. And here's the clue, guys. In order for the Israelis and the Rothschilds to accomplish this World War III on target, they've got to do it before the end of October. This thing has to roll out before 10/31 because of these ritualistic things. They start losing their power base after that relative to the activity that it's supposed to generate at the higher level. I'm not talking about the BB crazy bastard in Israel's level. He just wants to go out and kill Iranians. He just wants blood. You know, he's not getting enough out of the slaughter of the Palestinians and the, 60 years of oppression and torture there. He wants real, lay it out on the line, the Holocaust come, or I am death come among you kind of blood. Bear in mind, Bibi is a pantheist. And so the Muslim guys, let him get back to the religion issue, everybody who's a Mohammedan needs to really look at the children of the book and understand that the book itself points to the fact that these children made the choice. Look at the language and you see it is not the other way around, as you have been told, that God came down here and chose them. No, many gods came down here. A pantheon of over 144,000 gods arrived here in a giant damn spaceship. And the people that we know as the 12th tribe decided to be enslaved to this one particular god. And that's where we are today. When the pantheon went off on their business, the children took over their tried to take over the rest of the planet based on their special relationship of having chosen to be slaves to this particular god, who we have to admit was the engineer of things. This was the comptroller, you might say, of the pantheon. Anyway, though, and by the way, none of these individuals that arrived, none of the people that the none of the beings that the Jews chose among are in any way, shape, or form God or even gods. They are merely advanced, as we will be someday if we can get over this bullshit that they're trying to pull again right now with this mass assassination of all these individuals and the assaults on the U.S. Embassy. Not that we don't deserve it, okay? Here in Nebbish land, we have let the powers that be turn our country into a killing machine that kills for the corporate will, and it has for as long as I've been alive, and as long as my father was alive. And my father was a professional. He was part of the killing machine, a lifer, and he understood it in his terms, in his day, how he was being used. It is a disgusting situation, and I say this, you know, very heartfelt, that no American should in any way cooperate with the U.S. military in that sense. The U.S. military should be for the defense of the nation, the exploration of space. Bear in mind, it's a deceptive universe out there, and we need to be approaching this in a rational view. So I say, yeah, let's let the military lead out there. But let's not militarize space. But also, let's not let our military be used as the enforcement, kill with impunity on behalf of the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the evil satanic queen, and the stupid-ass pope. There's a billion people that live under terrible resource-constrained conditions that are affecting the planet now because of those resource constraints and how these people have been used for at least the last 150 years, if not longer. They have been sorely abused. These are the people that gave us algebra. These are the, in fact, we name that mathematical science after one of them. These are the people that gave us algorithms that we used in our computer sciences at the moment. These people, the Muslim-based population of the planet from the Middle East, rival the pantheistic Hindus in their mathematic ability, and they have been suppressed, and science ability, and these individuals have been suppressed for at least the last 150 years by the terrible, terrible empire of the satanic queen of the Brits. Okay, and you have to understand about Britain, the language of Britain, what it actually means. It refers back to, again, the choice where they have assigned themselves, B'nai B'rith. All of this stuff is a reference back to the choice where they assign themselves as slaves to this particular individual god. Now, that's not true of her satanic majesty. She is of the opinion that she is from the Ma'ur-Kador, which is the sea monster that is referenced in the Nummo myth as the progeny between the illegal progeny of the first and the third members of the eight ancestors. Long and involved mythology there, which I actually think is very accurate. But in any event, so the queen thinks that she comes from this special line of blood, and the whole, you know, Kubrick versus Hemo, you know, the copper versus the iron blood, the blue versus the red. And so they are blue bloods, they're the copper bloods, and they come from this sea monster, which, you know, they're actually the mating of two males. And so that's where their religious basis comes from. And if you look at all the Celtic myths, it goes all the way back to what the queen and Chucky the horror prince have to recite to each other on their little annual pilgrimages to that little chunk of rock in Wales, just to continually reinforce their power. So all of these illusions are going on, all these religious illusions everywhere. I won't even go into the Catholics or the Protestants or the weird-ass Mormons or, you know, what is it, the Scientologists, and I love that saying, Scientologists, you know, making the rest of the world seem sane since the early 50s. You know, we got strange religions out there. We got weird ideas that people adopt and think, okay, this is the truth, and I'm going to beat the shit out of you unless you agree with me. Thus you see why people like myself take up the martial arts. We don't like getting the shit beat out of us, and we're never going to agree with any of that crap. So, you know, get off our backs about it. But at the same time, let's treat all of these people and their weird-ass mental illnesses with respect. Let's understand that your weird-ass mental illness is in no way superior to their mental illness. And in fact, your weird-ass mental illness, speaking directly to Western Christian types now, is being used to get your ass into war with Iran and into the greater Middle East chaos that they want so they can kill off most of you and your kin. You got to understand that, you know, NASCAR ain't your friend. NASCAR is to pump you up, take the hydrogen molecules out of your brain so you can't think shit, get you to sign on the military's little piece of paper there and hold your hand up and swear to die for the God that they choose for you, because that's what they want you to do. They do not wish you any other point. And the charge of the Light Brigade, everybody misquotes that frequently. It is not to do or die, it is to do and die. And that's what they want out of you. And they're getting ready to pop it off again. This whole Chris Stevens sacrificed that bastard, you know. Have no idea what that fellow's life was about. But they're sure as hell going to try and use his death to pump you up to go and kill a bunch of people that are wearing different hats and clothes than you. And eat different food, smell different. And if that's enough, they want you to just trigger on all that xenophobia. Now, the curious part of all of this, you'll note from the way in which the media is laying out, they're having a hell of a time, meaning the powers that be. They've got the populace so fucked up with all this pharmaceutical stuff and all the amine-supporting chemicals, all of the fizzy drinks and all of the energy drinks and all this kind of stuff, that they are having a very hard time getting any level of intensity out of this. So they may well use it as the proximal cause for an attempt to get World War III going, because they have to, by my calculations, by 1031, if it's to have their desired, quote, magical effect. But they're sure running into their wall of their own creation, hoisted on their own petard, trying to lift themselves up by their own bootlaces, and it's just not working so well, because the nebbish are dumbed down and lobotomized and basically don't give a rat's ass if you kill their ambassadors. You know, they never met the guy, they don't know the conditions, and those few that are being wound up by this in the alternative press are being fed by Tavistock, to return way back to there. I'm going to get a ration of shit by this, and it would not surprise me if I were to suffer consequences as a result of these words, because Tavistock is very powerful. Tavistock is engineering this. I think of them as like the puppet master behind, well, were they the guys with their hands up the butts of all the people in the Council on Foreign Relations? So anytime you see Angelina Jolie or Brad Pitt in any way comment on any current event, someone is pulling on their vagus nerve and squeezing on their intestines from the CFR, because that person is getting their balls squeezed by somebody from Tavistock to make it all occur. And that's what's going on. Tavistock is engineering all of this. They're trying to get a replay of World War One, because World War One for them was a lot better than World War Two. World War One for them resulted in a split up and a dividing of the planet's gold. World War Two ended up in a concentration of the gold, which in the end turned out to be easier to steal. But they're going to have the larger consequences if that theft is uncovered, whereas the many thefts that occurred as a result of World War One, even if the individual ones were uncovered, the consequences were smaller. Now we're getting into this world where it's basically a, I would have to say we're dealing with a tuple. And that is to say that there's three power bases in the planet. There are those people that are besotted by religion, chemicals, unawareness, or whatever. They're the vast majority. There's a very, very, very thin slice of people that are doing the besotting. And then there are the rest of us, quantity unknown, but growing. And a number of people are able to cross out of the besotted level through the besotting barrier and come out into our area here. And these people go fucking batshit because of the experience of what we've all gone through. There's, in fact, a great many people that would say that they are indeed awake and aware, but you need to ask them if they've ever gone through the batshit phase. If they haven't, I would think that they have yet to reach through the besotting layer to see just how bizarre it really is. So this tuple of power bases is currently fighting things out. Now, the thin slice that is the besotting layer has sort of screwed themselves because they needed to use all the besotted people to generate a certain amount of energy just to get the herd moving. And it's now awful hard because the herd's all tranked out and says, basically, fuck off. I just want to sit here. So they've all got couch lock. And this couch lock at that level isn't good for generating giant efforts like World War III. And bear in mind, they need a greater level of intensity within the individuals and within the individual populations on each and every one of these. This is one of those Harry Seldon psychohistory mathematic things, which actually can be plotted. We've done it with our intensity language values. And here's the issue. In World War I, vast parts of the United States basically did not participate. Vast parts of the populace did not actually participate until the very last months of the effort. And that was because it just took that long for any of the people in remote areas who had a daily battle for struggle, you know, just being a rancher or a logger or something like that, to get enough emotional energy to put some of that emotional energy towards this national collective effort. We had yet to have, for instance, effective national rapid postal carrier system. We were just starting to develop all of that at the same time. So the knowledge distribution was on the order of months, if not years. There were people actually out here that were loggers in old growth forests that would be up there for 11 or 12 months at a time, literally start in at the end of one winter and go all the way through to when they were done and were walking their way out and coming out on horses and trains and stuff at the beginning of the next winter. And so they would work for fundamentally 9 months, and then they would take a long time off. But these guys would be so out of touch with things that the war had been... sorry about that. Had some kind of a glitch. Anyway, the war would be ongoing for about 9 months, and they didn't even know about it until they walked out. Actually, I had some relatives that were like that. In any event, so here we have the powers that be, this little thin slice, and they're trying to screw us all right at this moment. And the way they're trying to screw us is with mind control and with religion. Terrible thing, in my opinion. We all need something greater than ourselves just to get beyond the flush of youth and into the work of maturity. And then if you make it through maturity and you get to the age of wisdom, where you're supposed to put that back out, you frequently find that life has worn you down. And so if it was only about you, if all you had was you, then you could give up easy. In going back to our title, Earthers Are Easy. We're easy because we need this greater than ourselves view of reality in order to be able to effectively control our energy source, which is our emotions over the long term. In order to do that, which is to say, provide ourselves this greater than ourselves view, because we're too damn tough. We're too fucking tough to kill ourselves. You know, there's something, hey, flat out, guys, anybody ever tells you Cliff High committed suicide, they lie. I am too old and too mean to kill myself. I'm going out as nature intended. I'm not going to interfere with the process. So if someone tells you I suicide, put a D on that. I was suicided. Believe me, they'll probably have to be real sneaky, but I'll give whatever good account I can. So it's basically one of these kind of situations. We are not, as a rule, large enough within ourselves to continue without this greater vision to drive us. Now, in that sense, I'm not atheistic at all. I'm anti-religious, as you may guess, but not an atheist. Not even an agnostic. I just have a different view of the of universe that doesn't require the necessity of religion or gods, and yet is larger than myself and allows me to get up every morning in spite of all the pains and aches and so on and the damn sinus headaches and the people coming and poking on me, and do things for the greater good of all, because it is not about me. It is not about any of us. It's about all of us. And from this viewpoint, I like the Jain. Now, the Jain, J-A-I-N, that's not really a religion. These are people that are acting from a deeply held philosophical conclusion, not a pronouncement from some divine source that thou shalt do it this way. And so the view of the Jain in getting up and doing it for all of us, the way in which it's expressed in their understanding of things is that basically, of course, all of us, is me. And it goes back to the way that the Rastafarians think of things. I and I, right? I, the little ego, and I, the greater consciousness. Both of which are here now, present continuously. And combined in the Aikido sense gives you the ability to wield Aiki, which is not ki flow. It is something different I've come to understand recently in this last year. And in understanding the I and I concept, the Aiki concept of yourself merged into the greater whole of the materium, this is where we get our philosophical approach of, well, you can kill me, but you can't defeat me. Because in order to defeat me, you must first separate my bond and destroy my harmony, my wa, with universe, which is pretty near impossible, I think. Maybe you can do it with nuclear weapons, literally blowing one up under my butt, which would certainly upset me, and destroy me, and may even have, because there's so much energy involved, may have the potential of actually destroying that harmony. But beyond that, it's awful damn difficult. So if we all got to a state of harmonious understanding, and now, see, my harmonious understanding is that basically I don't give a shit what you believe. You can believe anything you care. The point at which it becomes an issue is when it starts intruding on me. When you come at me with a stick demanding that I agree with you, you're going to have to face myself in response. Because I will not agree with you and I will not accept being beaten with a stick. But short of that, and short of you intruding on the infrastructure, which, you know, is my big bitch at the moment with churches in the United States, they'd be paying fucking taxes and we wouldn't have the part of the mess we've got at the moment. And it's a collective. These things are corporations anyway. Look at how the Mormons are organized. Largest corporation outside of Masonry. And in fact, they follow all the Masonic principles. Not that they're any different from the Presbyterians or the Baptists or the Catholics or any of these other people. Those organizations are using the nebbish to buy into the religion in order to get power of groups to go on out and do stuff. Never underestimate the power of vast quantities of people in groups, because they become stupid. They are not individuals of intelligence. They become a mob. Then they merge into that, and the mob follows whoever the hell points them in the direction that feeds that particular mob energy at the moment. So you have to pander to the mobs to make them do what you want, which is the real problem. Once the mobs, once you've run out of ways to pander to them, they're going to turn on you, as all of the great dictators have understood. And that's kind of where we are going to end up here today, because it brings us back to the powers that be trying to get the nebbish as a giant mob motivated by killing all of these ambassadors and others. We're not done with this. The more will come. Blood will soon roll in the street in a lot of different places. They've got to, in order to get it all whipped up, in order to get us going. And once the get the herd moving, watch out, guys. That's going to be real dangerous for them as well, because in our view of things, we have a situation where the herds could be moved, it's going to be running, the controllers are on the outer edge, and just at that point, the storms are going to arrive. An unexpected, out of the greater consciousness disruptive field event designed, or not designed, but brought forward such that the powers that be shall be able to face their challenge. They're like the rest of us. As a final note here, okay, there's a couple of ways of looking at the planet, looking at your life. In one way, you can say, well, everything is a curse or a blessing. you get up in the morning and you get your get a notice from the IRS. If you're in the United States, IRS is this infernal revenue service that it's this private corporation out of Puerto Rico that insists on demanding tax for you to breathe. And they're very nasty guys. And so the Infernal Revenue Service letter is in your hands. At the moment that you hold that, before you've opened it, you are at a nexus, at a juxtaposition. The world trembles in your hands. This is like a Schrodinger's cat kind of a thing, or a bird in the box in the Mali tradition. Is the bird alive or is the bird dead? You just don't know. Is it a good news or is it bad news? Is it a curse or is it a blessing? Could be an unexpected refund, highly unlikely. But out of the blue like that, it could also be a demand for an audit, more likely. And so you have more trepidation towards that way because you've been pre-programmed to think of it in the more negative fashion. But it is basically a challenge. And your challenge begins the moment you decide to open it or not, because everything begins with that decision. But so here's the goal, or here's the statement, that to the ordinary individual trapped in the illusions of life, everything is emotionally challenging to them because it resolves down to them constantly dithering between a curse and a blessing. It's either good for them or bad for them. There's no middle ground. It's this dichotomy, the duality in which they live. And obviously, their mind prefers to not have bad things happen. Therefore, it will always tend to try and anticipate good, and it's always dithering and feeding into the whole process, and thus we get this thing called anxiety. And it all builds about the idea of the continual challenge of life. Now, see, here's where you get when you get old. You understand at some point, if you live long enough, that everything is a challenge. The good news is as equally challenging as the bad news, just in its own way. And it's just different. It demands emotional response. It demands energy. It demands that you walk a certain path, make certain decisions, just as the bad news does. The bad news is more apparently bad, but sometimes the good news in the end is worse. If you live long enough, you will find examples of this in your own life. Therefore, the wise man considers, or woman, considers everything in life to be a challenge, and they just let it go at that. The envelope is merely a challenge. The results are merely a challenge. One way or the other, it's going to alter the way that your life had been planned. And so, frequently also, the wise give up plans, and they learn to harmonize. And that being said, it is my intent to harmonize with the universe and provide you with a little understanding about this giant Archduke Ferdinand assassination thing that's going on right at this moment, this little current affairs briefing. And to let you know that Earthers are easy. We don't have to be, but in order not to be easy, it's going to be difficult. It takes a lot of work. Thanks, guys. I hope we don't get World War III out of this. I hope they're not successful, but they're really working at it, and their time frame is shrinking before their eyes, so they're really pushing it.